Thank you, Grace. Thank you for that great prayer. Thank you for praying that the Lord will anoint me tonight. I have come to learn that if He doesn't anoint me, I just need to keep my mouth shut. Whatever we do, we need to do with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I appreciate your prayers for that. Tonight, the message is entitled Becoming a Prayer Minister, and I think this is going to be appropriate for the prayer line. And I want to start with a scripture. Turn to Mark. It's going to be the very last scripture in Mark, Mark 16. We're just going to pick out a couple of verses here toward the end where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." And he goes on to say that they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You see, based on this scripture, I think that all believers are called to cast out demons at various times, and we're called to lay hands on the sick and to see people healed. And any time we pray for and pray with people, what we're doing is we're acting as a prayer minister. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, becoming a prayer minister. And since we're all called at one time or another to be a prayer minister, I want us to look at some questions like, what does this mean to be a prayer minister? And how can we be more effective when we pray for folks? And what are some of the pitfalls that we need to avoid when we pray for folks? And I'd like to start by defining prayer minister. And my definition is that a prayer minister is someone who makes themselves available to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can work through them. Let me say that again. A prayer minister is someone who makes themselves available to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can work through them to help other people to find the miracles that God has for them. Now, that usually means that you're willing to pray for and with people, whether that's in person, over the phone, and that when you do pray for somebody, as a prayer minister, you're expecting the Holy Spirit to work through you via a spiritual gift of some kind, like the gift of healing or word of knowledge or prophecy or something like that. Generally, prayer ministers are praying for some kind of healing. Remember, we've talked about this. There are really five kinds of healing, and everybody that I know of needs healing of some kind. They need physical healing. They need emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, deliverance healing. If you're human, you probably need healing in body, mind, and spirit. But a prayer minister is there for more than just healing. As a prayer minister, you're not just there to give human comfort, although you may very well do just that, and they may feel very loved and comforted by your willingness to pray for them. Matter of fact, this happened a couple of days ago to me. A lady called, and she needed to talk about some things, and afterwards I said, "Well, look, let me pray for you before you hang up," and we prayed together for a few minutes, and she really appreciated that. She really felt loved and appreciated, and she was surprised that I would be willing to take the time to pray for her. Well, that's just part of what happens with prayer ministry. Sometimes you're praying for healing. Sometimes you're just praying to make them feel better. But the primary objective as a prayer minister, I think, can be found in the definitions of the two words, prayer minister. Prayer means that you're there to pray with them. And you want to pray a faith-filled, effective prayer that gets results. And we're going to talk about that. And then the word minister means to serve someone or to attend to their needs. And so that's where we get this definition of prayer minister means that you're willing to pray for people, allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. And in doing so, you're serving them. You're bringing them into the presence of God so that God can meet their needs. Your job as a prayer minister is to be available to pray prayers that are effective in helping meet needs for those you're praying for. So that's what we're talking about. And in my opinion, the only way you can do that, by the way, the only way you can truly be effective in your prayers is through spiritual gifts. no matter how educated you are or how smart you are, how insightful you are, listen, you will never be successful as a prayer minister without spiritual gifts operating through you. That's gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's actually a topic for a different teaching, and so I'm not going to go in depth in that tonight. But let me encourage you to do this. Go to our website. There are some teachings there on spiritual gifts. And let me encourage you, you can stream them, you can download them, but let me encourage you to listen to those, because I think the Lord wants to move in all of us more in spiritual gifts. The website is www.cecmessiah.org. cecmessiah.org. And then when you get there, on the left-hand side in the navigation pane, you can select sermons and blogs, and then you can look down and find sermons about spiritual gifts. Let me encourage you to listen to some of those. That's the only way you can be effective as a prayer minister, is if spiritual gifts are flowing through you unhindered. So how do you know you're operating as a successful prayer minister? Well, it's easy. The people you pray for will be genuinely touched by God somehow. Debbie and I think that about 90% of the people we pray for are generally touched by God in some way. And for a while, it looked like about 25% of those we were praying for healing were getting healed. I think that number's been going up lately. I think the Lord is moving to heal people much more dramatically, much more often than he has been. There's a move of the Holy Spirit coming to heal folks, and we need to be part of that. Well, some folks receive their healing instantly, some it's over time. There's just nothing special about Debbie and me. We're not particularly smart, we're not particularly well-educated, we're not particularly spiritual, but we've learned this. We've learned how to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and allow spiritual gifts to flow through us. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want to read a promise that Jesus made. A lot of people have just discounted this and said, well, this can't really be what he said. But I believe it is. Gospel of John, John 14, verse 12. John 14 and 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. What did Jesus do? Man, he was all the time healing people, raising the dead, casting out demons. He says, you'll do those works. And then listen to the rest of the verse. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Now, if you read the context there, chapters 14, 15, 16, you'll see that when he's talking about going to the Father, he's talking about when I go to the Father, then I'm going to be able to send the Holy Spirit back, and he's going to fill you up, and he's going to operate through you. And when that happens, you're actually going to be able to do greater works than I did while I was here on the earth. So the Holy Spirit working through you, through us, should be able to do even greater works than what he was able to do through Jesus when Jesus was here on this earth. I'll give you a quick example. A lady came to us and she had a leg injury, so we started praying for her leg, and the spiritual gift of knowledge started working almost immediately, and the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask her about her past. And I asked if she had done something wrong that she couldn't get over. Now, who would guess? I mean, just looking at this lady, she just looked like a nice, regular lady. You just wouldn't think anything about that. But the Holy Spirit knew there was something down on the inside and hasn't had me ask about that. Well, just as soon as I asked that question, man, she immediately broke down and she just started boo-hooing and crying. As the tears and sobs subsided, she was able to tell us that years ago, she had a little daughter, and when the daughter was 4 years old, the daughter had gotten run over by a car and killed. And she was certain that that was her fault, and she just couldn't forgive herself. Now, she came asking for healing for her leg, but the Lord knew that she needed spiritual healing before she could come to the place where her leg could be healed. Now, spiritual healing is all about forgiveness and cleansing our spirits, and in this lady's case, she needed to realize that God had long ago forgiven her. He wasn't holding anything against her, and that now it's time for her to forgive herself. And so we worked through that with her. We prayed with her for her to be able to forgive herself, and she prayed a prayer of forgiveness. And then after she did that, well, we were able to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, pray a prayer of healing for her leg. Now, at that point, the spiritual gift of healing or working of miracles was needed, because for sure, neither Debbie nor I have the ability to heal her leg. Only God can do that. We had to ask the Lord to allow this gift of healing to flow through us. And sure enough, it did. And as we prayed for her, God touched her and God healed her leg. So the point of the story is this. You not only need spiritual gifts operating for the miracle they ask for, you may also need spiritual gifts operating to bring them to the place that God can truly heal them, whatever the real need is. Now, in this case, she was looking for physical healing, but she got some inner healing and some spiritual healing too. How did that happen? Well, Debbie and I recognized that we're just the vessels. We're just the instruments. And God, through His Holy Spirit, is really the one in charge of the healing process. And that's what prayer ministers do. They make themselves available to the Holy Spirit and to the person being ministered to, so that the Holy Spirit can operate through them to accomplish in their lives whatever miracle it is that God wants to do. And sometimes folks come to us and they want prayer for one thing, and the Lord ends up touching them in a different area and never touches them in the area they asked for. And I don't always understand that, but this process is up to the Holy Spirit, so we let Him do what He wants to. So that's kind of a definition of prayer minister. By the way, we're not going to finish this tonight, and so it'll probably take another time or two to finish this up. So be patient with us tonight, okay? The next question is, who's called to be a prayer minister? Who should answer that call to be a prayer minister? Well, in its simplest form, if you're a believer, I think you're called to be a prayer minister. That's what Mark 16 was talking about. If you believe, then you ought to be casting out devils. You ought to be laying hands on the sick. Well, that's prayer ministry, right? Listen, when your child gets sick or gets injured or they've been verbally abused or they've been attacked by a demon, they need healing. They need a prayer minister to pray with them. That's your job, parent. You become their prayer minister. And everything I'm teaching about being a prayer minister applies even in that simple situation of praying for your own kids. But some of us have been called to make ourselves available to pray for folks outside of our own families. And many, if not most of us Spirit-filled Christians, should make ourselves available to pray for people. To pray for people in our churches, in our home groups, in prayer groups, etc. This is about making yourself available to be a servant to the body of Christ, and in some cases to people that don't even know the Lord. I think the kingdom of God is in serious need of Spirit-filled believers who are willing to be prayer ministers. He's looking for folks who will volunteer inside and outside of their churches to take time and act as a prayer minister. And if you're going to be effective as a prayer minister, it's going to take some time on your part. You're going to have to be willing to spend time praying for folks after church is over with. You're going to have to be willing to go to meetings and act as a prayer minister there. You're going to have to be willing to take the time to volunteer and participate maybe in something like healing rooms, whatever God's calling you to. And listen, you're going to have to be willing to spend some time fasting and praying on your own so that you can be ready to pray effectively for others. And I challenge you to seek God on this subject. Many of you will hear Him calling you to be more involved in prayer ministry, and for sure in your family, in your church, but many of you need to hear him. He's calling you to become available, working as a prayer minister outside your family, outside your church, on the prayer line. Who knows where he's going to lead you. Now, before we go on any farther, because most of this teaching is really kind of the mechanics of how to be a prayer minister. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I want to clarify some things before we go on farther. And lest anybody say, well, this is just about the mechanics, I want to make sure you understand that you can't operate effectively as a prayer minister without three key spiritual ingredients. The first one is prayer covering. Best prayer covering is a group of intercessors praying for you and for your time of prayer ministry to others. And so that may mean that some of you, maybe three or four of you, have been called to be prayer ministers, but y'all also agree to be intercessors for each other. When you're praying in a church service, I'm going to be holding back as the intercessor and praying for you privately. Now, I mean, you need to be praying too. If you're the prayer minister, you probably need to be doing some fasting too. I mean, you need to be prayed up, as we used to say back in the old Pentecostal days, because you never know when you're going to need to pray for somebody. This woman called the other day in the middle of my work day, you know, and she was not talking about work stuff. But when I heard the Lord say, you need to pray for her before she leaves, well, I couldn't tell her, well, look, can you just call back in a couple of days? I need to fast and pray for and get ready. You can't do that. You need to stay in a place of prayer. Okay, the second key ingredient is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Luke 4 and verse 18. This is where Jesus picks up the scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he reads about a prophecy that Isaiah made about him, and then he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, what was that prophecy about? This is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus reads about how he has to be anointed for ministry. Look, if Jesus, who is God, needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit to minister here on this earth, then for sure we should never consider praying over someone without that anointing. Now, I'm not talking about how you feel, that you feel anointed. You may personally feel nothing. Listen, Debbie and I have ministered lots of times, and that's happened. Matter of fact, in one service, we were praying for folks, and blind eyes were being opened, deaf ears were being opened. There are all kinds of miracles going on, and I'm telling you, we didn't feel a thing. Now, usually I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but sometimes I don't. It's okay. It's not about what you feel. It's about having that anointing, that cloak of anointing on you. Now, you can tell if you're anointed because spiritual gifts will begin to flow. Don't push it. Don't work it up. Don't try to do it on your own. If you're not getting anything from the Holy Spirit, then you're probably not anointed to minister. Either you're not anointed to minister right then, or you're not anointed to minister to that person. Whatever it is, if you're not anointed, just go sit down, okay? Don't be embarrassed. Don't apologize. You're not in control. God is. It's not you ministering to people. You're just the vessel through which the anointing flows. And I'm telling you, if the anointing is not flowing, don't worry about it. Do something else. Don't minister right then. The third key ingredient is ministering from a heart of love and compassion. Turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 14. Now, the Gospels are full of scriptures like this one, and we're just going to pick this one out to make this point. It says, and when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Jesus' miracles always flowed out of his love and compassion for broken humanity. If you don't care about who you're praying for, then let somebody else pray for them, okay? And then you go off and you need to seek the Lord to change your heart. We need a heart of love and compassion for lost and dying humanity. We need to sense that compassion that the Holy Spirit has when He looks at somebody and He longs for them to be healed. He longs for them to be delivered or restored. We need to share that compassion and that love. And it's really that we should minister from. That should be our motivation as we operate as a prayer minister. So, key ingredients: prayer covering, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and ministering from a heart of love and compassion. Everything else I say in this teaching is predicated on those three key ingredients. Now, I said I'd get to the mechanics of it, and so I'm going to kind of divide this up into four steps in prayer ministry. And actually, later we'll talk about something else you need to do before you start prayer ministry, and then something you need to do afterwards. But generally, when you have an opportunity to act as a prayer minister, that means you're in a place to pray for somebody, then there are some steps you can go through, I think, that make it more effective. Let me tell you the four steps real quick, and then we'll start diving into the first one. The first step is that you need to actively listen to their story, and you need to hear what they want God to do for them. And as they talk, you need to ask questions as the Holy Spirit leads. This means that you're actively listening to them. Then, as they talk, you need to be praying under your breath, you know, Lord, what's going on? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to do? You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit during the interview process, if you will. So step one is actively listen to their story. It's kind of an interview process. Step two is to patiently and carefully pray for them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is the time that you to allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate. Step three, then, is to enter a time of interactive prayer with them. And when I say interactive prayer, what I'm talking about is you pray for them or with them for a while, and then maybe you talk to them. You ask them questions. You ask them how they're feeling, what they're sensing. Is the pain still there? You know, you talk to them and pray for them, talk and pray, and that sort of thing. And then the fourth step is that you continue to pray with them interactively until one of four things happens. In other words, if any one of these four things happens, you know that you're probably done praying. The first thing is they receive what they've asked for or what they need. The second thing is that they've at least gotten touched by the Holy Spirit somehow, okay? The third way you know it's time to quit praying is if the anointing of the Holy Spirit lifts. And it's okay, we're done now. And then the last criteria, and we'll talk about this later, is when we're ministering with someone, especially privately, where you have a little bit more time, we set a time limit of 90 minutes on that. So if you get to, if time's up, if you come to the end of the hour or 90 minutes or whatever you felt like the Holy Spirit wanted you to set, then it's time to quit. You can always come back and get together again, pray more later. So actively listen, patiently and carefully pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, interactively pray with them, and then continue to do that until the Lord says you're done. So let's talk about this first step, actively listen, and we're going to start that tonight, and we'll probably be able to finish that tonight. Let's see. So, actively listen to their story and hear what they want God to do for them. You have to start by finding out what they need prayer for. So this takes an interview process. Now, I know that there's sometimes the Holy Spirit says, look, don't let them tell you anything. I'm going to completely lead you in prayer. And in other words, He's going to reveal things to you supernaturally. That's okay. But usually, it's okay to ask, what would you like Jesus to do for you? That's the question I like. And even when they tell you what they think they want the Lord to do, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads or works in a totally different direction. So even when they tell you what they expect, you, the prayer minister, you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit to see what the Lord Himself really wants to do. So during the interview phase, you want to actively listen. That means that you may ask questions, or you may take something that they say and rephrase it and repeat it back to them and ask them, did I understand that correctly? you know, I've had them say, no, you you got it wrong. And so, you know, we work together until I understand what they're talking about. This is a great time for you to ask questions about whatever's going on. You know, their back's hurting. Well, what's wrong? Have you gotten a diagnosis? Are you hurting now? You know, that sort of thing. So anyway, while you're listening to them, though, you're also listening for the Holy Spirit to see what he thinks and what he says and feels about this person and their situation. I'll give you a quick example of that. We were praying for a lady one night. She needed healing of some kind. It was physical healing that she needed, but I can't remember what it was. And as we listened to her describe her condition, we asked a couple of questions to make sure we understood what her illness was. And then the Lord said, ask her if she's holding on to any unforgiveness. When we asked that question immediately, she said, yes. And she said, I can't forgive. And she started in on this story about a sister that had been mistreated and some things that had been done. And she just couldn't see how she could forgive the person that had done those things to her sister. Well, the Lord knew that she couldn't receive physical healing until she had first received spiritual healing from that unforgiveness, that bitterness that was down on the inside of her. You see, these questions that the Lord had us ask, they were opening up to us and to her areas where she needed ministry, areas that she would not have known to ask for prayer about. So spiritual gifts need to be operating even during that first phase, during the interview process. Now, I'm going to tell some more stories and go through the rest of the steps we're going to talk about. Praying for folks and letting the gifts move. I'm going to tell you about some of the doubts that I have when I pray for folks, because I want you to understand that you're human, I'm human, we all have doubts, and we just need to get over ourselves and get over those things. So I'm going to tell some embarrassing stories on me later about this and as prayer ministers. But I also want to give you some examples of prayer ministry at work, why we should have one or two other people with us praying. We're going to talk some about the myths about demons and prayer ministry, how to deal with demons, and when do you cast out demons, and when is it okay and not, and we're going to talk about some guidelines and things like that. Anyway, I think we're going to have fun, and I hope you will learn something that you can kind of take this as a springboard, and you take it to the Lord. And hopefully the Lord will take you to levels that Debbie and I have never even dreamed of in prayer ministry, because you will have been listening to the Holy Spirit and led by Him, and we'll see some great things come because of this. So, amen. God bless you.